Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our Lenten devotion this evening is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark. We read in the 14th chapter beginning at verse 12. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, which of these conversations would you rather participate in? Going to someone and telling them there has been a birth in your family of a healthy baby? Or to have to go to someone and say, one of your loved ones has suddenly and unexpectedly died? I have had to do both several times, and I would much rather do the first. There are tough conversations in life. I've had to go to members and tell them of the grave danger into which they were placing their eternal souls because of their love for some sin that has taken over their life. On a couple occasions, I had to tell professors at one of our worker training schools that we were ending their calls to serve. There are tough conversations in life. And believe me, they actually do start out, "Please sit down. I have something to talk to you about." Jesus did not take a seat at the Passover meal, as sometimes he's pictured, but rather he was with his apostles reclining next to the table. This was on Maundy Thursday night, and Jesus was about to have one of the toughest conversations that he would ever have with his disciples. And he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Under our general theme, "I tell you the truth," we look at that this evening. "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." And we'll see, first of all, that Jesus was concerned about this betrayal. And secondly, that Jesus was in control of the events surrounding the betrayal. Jesus was in a unique position at this time to speak this tough conversation. In the communication of attributes that his divine qualities are shared with his human nature, Jesus knew that one of his disciples was going to betray him into the hands of his enemies, and he knew exactly who it was. And this friend was not going to betray him, perhaps in the way that most of us have experienced, where you share a confidence with somebody, and they betray that confidence that we've shared with them. This betrayal was much more serious. This betrayal would be the betrayal of Jesus' life. It would be the betrayal that would lead to Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. Imagine, if you can, walking into a group of your friends, say tonight, walking into this group of your friends, knowing that one of us was going to betray you into death, and knowing which one of us it was that was going to do that terrible thing. How would we handle it? We don't know, and this isn't about us. How did Jesus handle it? How did he handle it with Judas? How did he handle it with himself? How did he handle it with the other disciples? In that tough conversation, one of you is going to betray me. One of you who is eating with me. And we see, first of all, that Jesus was concerned. He was first concerned about Judas. This was not the first time that Jesus warned Judas not to do what he was about to do. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, he had cautioned his disciples, "There are some of you who do not believe." Or he said to them, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." Nor was this warning, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me," wasn't the last warning that Jesus gave Judas. We heard that one in our reading this evening, didn't we? When Judas came up to Jesus to kiss him on his cheek, with the tears and the sweat streaming down Jesus' cheeks, with that like blood pouring out of him under his stress and the burden of our sins, when he came to kiss Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Jesus did not dismiss Judas as the traitor he was. He didn't just dismiss him as somebody that he didn't care about anymore, as somebody that didn't deserve any affection or love, even in spite of what he was going to do, what Judas was going to do. Jesus treated Judas with love, with gentleness, with compassion, with mercy. He treated Judas' soul as a soul that needed to be called and called to repentance. He treated Judas as a sinner who needed to recognize what was filling his heart, that impenitence, that unbelief that was filling Judas' heart. Even earlier, when Jesus told the disciples, "One of you is going to betray me," and then when John said, "Well, who is it?" and Jesus said, "It's the one I dip the bread in and hand it to," even when Jesus did that and handed the bread to Judas, and he went out, he did it in such a way of love that the disciples didn't really understand what was going on. Remember, Judas left, and it was night. It wasn't night because the sun had gone down and it was dark. It was night because evil, unbelief, impenitence, betrayal continued to fill Judas' heart against Jesus. Judas didn't pay any attention to Jesus' call to repentance. Judas didn't pay any attention to Jesus' concern for his eternal soul. Jesus was so patient with Judas, so loving to Judas, that the disciples didn't even catch what was going on. They thought Judas left, remember, either to buy some supplies for the meal or to give something to the poor. But it wasn't just Judas and his soul that Jesus was concerned about. It was also that of the other disciples. The question that, or the statement that Jesus made, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me, one of you who is eating with me, yes, it is one of the 12, was meant for them. And it had that effect, didn't it? They turned away from their meal and they started examining their own hearts. Surely not I, each one asked him. They began to wonder, could it be me? Could I do such a thing? Is it in my heart that I would betray and turn away from Jesus? They were saddened, the Bible tells us, because when they got a look at their own sinful hearts and they recognized their own fears and their own weaknesses and their own doubts, they wondered out loud to Jesus if in fact one of them couldn't be the one who was going to do it. And this is where we apply Jesus' words to our hearts. I tell you the truth. One of you is going to betray me. Surely not I. And yet when we look at our hearts in Lenten repentance, we recognize, don't we, that the unthinkable is not the impossible. It is possible for us to betray Jesus Christ, to turn away from Him in unbelief, to turn away from Him in love for sin, in impenitence. Jesus is concerned about our souls tonight. And that's why He asks that question, so that we turn away from life and look into our own hearts and see there the capability of doing the very thing that Judas did. And then repent of our sins. To acknowledge that weakness and that sin and that doubt and that sorrow and fear that can drive us away from the Lord. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Thank God that our Savior cares so much about our souls that He would say that to us so that we examine our hearts. We examine our relationship with God. Again, not standing on our own strength, but rather repenting and acknowledging His love and His concern. But Jesus isn't only concerned, He's also in control. At the beginning of our text, we read that Jesus sent His disciples into Jerusalem to prepare for the Passover. And He explained to them, you'll find the guy carrying the water jar and tell him the Lord wants to go to his house. And they did all those things, and they went up in the upper room, and what did they find? Everything was just as Jesus had told them. The Holy Spirit didn't inspire the writers to say. It was pretty much as Jesus told them. It was close to what Jesus told them. It was just as Jesus told them. Jesus is in control of everything. From the preparation of the Passover, through the eating of the Passover meal, the going into the Garden of Gethsemane, the kangaroo court trial held still in the dark of Good Friday morning, up through his death on the cross. Jesus is in control of the situation. One of my favorite words on the cross is the last one, when Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up his life. Nobody took Jesus' life from him. He gave it up when he was ready. And hear those words, "I tell you the truth," really hit home. Because Jesus knew the truth about Judas. And yet, he still permitted Judas to do what he came to do. Could Judas have not betrayed Jesus? Absolutely. Judas could have repented and not done what he did. God would have found some other way of getting his son to the cross. But Jesus was in control. As we said last week, Judas didn't get the best of him. He didn't sneak up on him. The crowd didn't overwhelm him. Jesus' enemies weren't in control of any of these things, but Jesus was. Our Savior knew everything that was going to happen to him, and yet he still allowed his enemies to do it to him. Why? Because of that "just as it is." Not only did Jesus know just as it is in the events surrounding Maundy Thursday night and Good Friday, but remember, he also said, "just as it is written." Jesus was in control of his betrayal so that he would go just as it was written about him. About 1,000 years before this happened, in prophecy, the psalmist writes about the betrayal of Jesus, really making it public knowledge 1,000 years before it happened. We read in Psalm 41, verse 9, the Savior speaks in prophecy, "Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Judas rejected Jesus' concern. Judas is personally responsible for his action. And so Jesus speaks a woe upon him, not upon any of the other disciples, because they were repentant, they were weak, they fled, they were afraid. But they stayed in faith. The Holy Spirit kept them in faith. And Jesus pronounced that woe singly on Judas. "But woe to that man." I'll go like the scripture says. "But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him had he not been born." The Lord is so concerned about us that he calls us to repentance. He calls us to faith. He calls us to have a place that he has won for us in heaven. He promises to hold us through the means of grace till that day when he takes us to be with him forever. I get to tell you that every week, and that's not a tough conversation to have. That's a good conversation to have. That's an easy conversation to have. It's one really we don't have to sit down and hear as if it were bad news, but rather we can stand and sing, "Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Amen.